Good morning. I always look forward to vacation, and I always look forward to coming back home. And I look forward to being with you in the services that we have. Vacation gives me time to think and to reflect on things in the church and things that are going on. And a question I have is, we just watched the Billy Graham section there. How many, and I want to put you on the spot, how many have somebody in mind that you have decided, that you have decided through Christ, you're going to make a difference in their life this year? And you're working with a goal, with intentional actions to bring them into the kingdom. Raise your hands. Okay. What have you done this week to connect with them? Because as we move forward with this, you've got to build the relationship. You have to. And they have to know you so well that they trust you, that you're not out to do anything harmful. What have you done? What contact have you had with that person? And it may mean that you have to pick up the phone and call them. It may mean that you have to go to their house and knock on their door and visit them. Or take them a loaf of bread. Somebody, what have you done this week? You don't have to say who it is. Just, what have you done?
Talk to them and pray for them all week.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Let them help them do some work they couldn't do.
Excellent. Wonderful. Went out to lunch. I love it. That's great. What this is going to take, it is going to take that commitment to talk to them, to help them, to go out to lunch, whatever, to make a contact there. And then everybody, we need to be praying. We really need to be praying for these people. Will, can you bring me down just a little? I kind of hear an echo up here myself. Or maybe you weren't. Oh, that's nice. It's important. And I hope through the message today you find out or you begin to see some of the importance. How many of you followed the news this week? I hate turning it on. And I'll ask you another question. Which would scare you more? Which would strike fear to your heart more? A God who says, "Why didn't you do this?" Or a God who says, "Why did you just sit by and let this happen?" Or a man with a concealed carry permit? Which do you fear more? Here's what happened. There has been more debate, and I'm not trying to strike up any political view here. I'm just sharing. There has been more debate over the concealed carry law in Illinois than there has been over homosexual marriage. There has been more debate over the practice of having a concealed carry weapon than there has been over anything else, and legalizing the use of marijuana within the state. This is on the news. It's nothing new. It's nothing I dreamed up. On one side, you have man's law and this debate. But I got to tell you something. I am more concerned with what God is looking at than what man is looking at. And in our state, The place we live, the place we speak, the place we're supposed to have a voice, God is being erased. And whatever God stands for, let's strip it off the lawn of the courthouse, let's take it out of the Capitol building, and let's go toward those things that God has specifically said, this is wrong. The abortion bill facing our nation. Let's not debate it. Let's not talk about it because we might hurt somebody's feelings. You know what? Sometimes I'd rather hurt somebody's feelings here and see them in eternity than to not speak about it and to ignore it and them end up in hell because they didn't hear about Jesus Christ and they didn't hear about his love. We, the people of God, are dedicated, and I kind of changed some words here if this sounds familiar, are dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Do you agree? That we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Do you agree? And among those rights are the pursuit of God, the pursuit of church, and the pursuit of faith. And all of these leading to a balance in life. Today, my friends in America, we're engaged in a very great spiritual war. And this war is testing whether this people or any people so committed and so dedicated can endure. The war is not of conventional weapons, nor is it of conventional battles. Most of the time, this war is fought in heavenly realms and unseen by man. At stake, what is the cost? As are the lives and the souls of a nation. As I was working on this, I think, boy, that's hard. And people aren't going to want to hear this. But it's the truth. And I have to share it with you. Because I have a burden, as you should have a burden for this nation. Folks, we're dying. And we don't even realize it. Rights are being stripped away from Christians in this country on a weekly basis. Voices are becoming silent. And if we do speak up, we're fanatics. I am so happy that I follow the greatest fanatic of all time. And he spoke up. The enemy is hard to identify due to his subversive tactics. His tactics do, however, become more and more harmful as time goes on. It starts with removing God from every public venue possible. Christmas becomes Xmas. The Christmas program becomes the holiday pageant. Easter is no longer Easter, but spring break. Let's strip prayer out of the school. Let's take the Bible out of the school. Let's strip the Ten Commandments from the courthouse lawns. Let's allow liberal media who wants us to accept whatever is an abomination to God. Let's let them continue and let's support them by watching them. This enemy is out to destroy the family, to get in the very heart of the family and cause division and separation. Why is divorce at the rate it is today? Because the enemy, the battle that is going on, is there to rip marriages and families apart. And we cannot be deceived into saying Satan's not involved. And relationships. Relationships that should be formed of love amongst God's people. Satan loves to divide that. The church becomes labeled as nothing but a bunch of fanatics, or we really don't know what they're talking about, so we're not going to go. It's legalize this, honor that, but by all means ignore God's word. We, God's people, should be more in the fight. But folks, we sit back and we watch our nation crumble. But gee, Pastor, we're just a little small church in Freeport, Illinois. What difference can we make? I remind you that our commander-in-chief started with 12. And you know what? We still follow him today. Our weapon, the weapon that we use in this great battle that is taking place, is God himself and his word. We must speak. We must reach out to the lost souls around us. Our battle is a battle of love, not of hatred. And it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to look at those who reject Christianity and who reject us and make fun of us and tease us and call us names or put us down. And it's easy to forget that God loves them. Those today who are pushing for all of these things that are an abomination to God, he still loves them. From the highest office in this nation all the way down. How can I dare say that? Because the Word of God tells me that. And if he loves them, we should love them. We will not win this battle by hatred. We will not win this battle by fighting. We will not win this battle by arguing. We will only win this battle as we share the love of Jesus Christ that he shared with us. And people are dying, friends, and going to hell without Jesus Christ because somebody didn't do what God called them to do. We all know people who don't know Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Why don't we care? Why don't we care? Why aren't we reaching out to them? Oh, the answers come in to me like, they won't listen to me. They won't let me talk about it. They don't like when I talk about it. They turn and walk away. I've told them and they've rejected it. Jesus was rejected time and time and time and time again. And he was rejected as he walked through the streets carrying the cross and being whipped and spat upon. He was rejected as they took him to that hill and they drove spikes and nails into his hands and into his feet. And then they stuck this cross in the ground. He was rejected by man as people turned their backs on him. And people below that cross looked at him and they cast insults upon him and teased him and said, if you're who you say you are, come down off of the cross. And Jesus' words, Father, forgive them. I've not been nailed to a cross. I'm attached to the cross with Jesus Christ. I don't know if I would have the strength to look at the ones who were torturing me and ask for their forgiveness. And then God, looking down out of heaven, the Heavenly Father, saw the cruelty, the betrayal, the brutal treatment of His Son. And He chose to love. We will not win this battle by hatred. Well, the enemy only has one name. Actually, in Scripture, we see many, but it comes down to one. We see him act out in the hearts of men throughout Scripture. They have been, and as we have, deceived, persuaded, to believe that what he says is right. Listen, what we are taught today is that if it feels good, do it. As long as you don't hurt somebody else, it's okay. Let's not listen to what God says. Let's not do what God says. Let's set up a standard for ourselves. And let's just do what we want to. We don't want to surrender to God in this country. We don't want to say God's way or God's will be done, but what we would rather do is we would rather set up our own set of rules and guidelines, and this is how I'm going to live my life. And by the way, if there's a God out there and he doesn't like it and he's upset about what I'm doing, then show yourself, God, so that I can see you and so that I know that you're there. So now if I see you and I know you're there and I can touch you or whatever, then I'm going to do what you want me to do. By faith, we believe. By faith, he touches us. Satan is out to destroy each and every one of us. Scripture tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces at work and the evil in heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. And some of you have heard me say it, and I don't think you believe me. I don't think you can see it. But right now, close your eyes. Everybody, close them. I don't want to see anybody's eyes open. Close them. And I want you to think for a moment that right now, at this very moment, we're going to look through spiritual eyes. And I want you to realize that above this church right now, God's angels are doing battle. Above this church right now, God's legion has come against Satan, because Satan has come and Satan has decided that he wants to get into the church. He wants to destroy the church by destroying the people. And there's a battle taking place in heavenly realms. Can you see it? And the angels are fighting them back. And it comes down to your heart. It comes down to who you are. It comes down to what you believe. Keep your eyes closed and what is going to happen in your life. Satan is attacking. And he wants to distract you from this room. He wants to distract you from this message. He wants you to think about what you're going to do for lunch or where you're going to go for the rest of the day or what the week's going to be like. But today, right now, we are here. We are in God's house, and our hearts and minds need to be focused on him. And we need to realize that there's a great battle taking place. Can you see it? In heavenly realms. And you know who the angels are fighting for? They're fighting for you. They're fighting for this church. They're fighting for this community. Go ahead and open your eyes. We miss that, and we don't see it. And if we're to defeat Satan, we need to understand a little bit about him. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against that dark force, which is Satan. And we need to understand a little bit about him. And there's three things that I'm going to share this morning. There's a lot more I could. But there's three things I'm going to share this morning that must happen if we, through Christ, are to defeat the one that comes against us. First of all, be prepared. Be prepared. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let me tell you something. Satan has your number. Okay? He knows who you are. He knows who you are. And he has his legions and he has his armies. And like this prowling lion, he's looking around and he's kind of sneaking through the grass. And what he does is he looks at you and he says, I know how I can get you. I know your weakness. The minute your back is turned, I'm going to pounce just like a lion pouncing on its prey. And on the front side, we're like this. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here I am, Lord. But we don't guard our back. And we don't allow God to. And Satan sees that weakness. He sees that part in you where he can bring you down. You know the scariest time, I believe, in a Christian's life? Is when they say, I've got it all figured out and God is in me and everything's good. You know the scariest time in the church? Is when everything's running smooth as silk. Because sometimes that can mean the church isn't doing what it should be. But when Satan is prowling around, he's looking for that weakness and he's ready to pounce. Folks, I got to be honest with you. We all have weakness. This year for me, without going into a lot of detail, has been one of the toughest years I can remember in a long, long, long time. Satan knows what he can do to bring the pastor down. And there is a battle going on. And I'm just being open and honest with you. And sometimes, even as a pastor, you find yourself weak. Sometimes, you find yourself wanting to give up. Statistics say that there will be something like 5,000 pastors walk away from their church this year. Defeated, beat down, and the enemy has won. We're not immune. You're not immune. My decision is, I fight on. But it's not me, it's Christ in me. And the battle does not belong to me, the battle belongs to the Lord. And I pray that where you are and the battles that you're facing, that you would have the tenacity to stand up and be so tenacious that the enemy wants nothing to do with you. Be prepared. It's going to happen. He's going to come at you. And when things seem to be the smoothest and things seem to be running the best, you really need to be on guard. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Do you know what that means? When it says that he's looking for someone to devour, it's real simple. He's looking to reach up out of hell and drag you in. That's his purpose. You know how Satan hurts God? He takes people away from God. He grabs them. He gets their mind focused in other directions instead of being focused on him. Satan is battling. Be alert. Be prepared. Second thing, kind of goes along with the first, and is found in Ephesians 4:27. Just a short little passage, and it says this: do not give the devil a foothold. I used to play a lot of football, and I love football. And it's getting to be football season again, and I'm excited. I can't wait. Go Bears, greatest team on earth. And we're looking forward to it. But in playing football, sometimes when you go to make a tackle, you know, if you tackle them high, if you tackle somebody up around the shoulders, they can sometimes keep going, and even a big guy riding on your shoulders, you can keep going. So if you really want to get somebody, you got to get those feet tangled up. You know what a foothold is? A foothold is grabbing onto that and holding onto that foot, because you can't go forward if they're holding that foot. And I was going to do this example, but I decided not to, of having somebody come up and hold a foot and somebody else try to drag them out. And what happens is they end up doing this. Okay? Don't give Satan a foothold. Don't give him a place in your life where he can grab hold. That place in your life can be pride. That place in your life can be jealousy. That place in your life can be possessions. That place in your life can be so many different things. Don't give Satan a foothold. And if you see today that Satan has got a foothold on you, you know it's time to break the chain or to break that hold. And the way we break that hold is by giving everything to God and saying, Lord, he's got me. He's got me, and I'm trying to break away and I can't. But God, I know that through you of their strength, and through you, I can overcome this. Whatever the obstacle is, God, through you, I can be strong again. And I'm not going to give Satan that foothold. He's not going to hold me. He's not going to pull me down. You can't do it yourself. You can't. And you'll never be able to. But through Jesus Christ, whatever foothold Satan has, you can break it. Folks, do you understand that? Do you believe it? Then let's live it. Because I guarantee you there's some area of your life today that Satan's got a foothold on. Why? Because we've not been prepared to be on guard. No, not me. No. Satan doesn't have a foothold on me. Pastor, you're just full of hooey. Thanks, Gene. I didn't mean to agree with that. He's back there saying, yep, you are. No, I'm kidding. Folks, listen. I walk the same path you walk. I see the same things you see. What are you holding back from God because Satan has a foothold? Man, let it go. And call upon the name of Jesus and be free. Last thing I want to cover here just for a minute. Probably, possibly the most important, comes out of James 4, verse 7. And here's what it says. Submit yourselves to God. What does that mean, submit? John Chug, I love you, brother. What does submit mean? Awesome. I knew you would have a good answer. John and I have talked, and I hope you're not mad at me. I did not mean for you to. Okay. We've talked many times, and John listens to words. And words are important, and what they mean is important. And I knew he would, he might have to think, but I knew he'd have an answer. Submit yourselves. In other words, lower yourself to the authority, or allow the authority that is God to be in your life. Submit yourselves to God, it says. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, resisting can be hard. Resisting can be hard, and I think of people in here, and I think of different things as I look around this group today, and I know many are missing, and people that I know that you know they're not here today for whatever reason. But when I look at you, I see different ones here, and I know in your life different things that you've had to say. I'm going to resist Satan in this. I'm not going to let him have this part of my life, and it was hard. It was a hard-fought battle, but eventually Satan just left you alone in that area of your life. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't give him a foothold. When that first thought enters your mind, resist. I've seen this play out in the lives of alcoholics. I've seen it play out in the lives of drug addicts. I've seen it play out in the lives of people who had criminal records and had done terrible things and shot people and been shot themselves and Satan so trying to drag them in. I've seen this play out in people who were worshiping false idols and had their whole lives messed up. I've seen it play out in people who had anger problems. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But there's another part to that verse in James 4. And that part goes like this. It says, come near to God. Talks about moving, doesn't it? Come near to God. We're moving. Come near to God. But it's a two-way thing because it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. God, I'm coming to you. And God's arms are open and he's coming to us. And he embraces us. Folks, that's our battle. And even today, even as we're here now, some are resisting. Some don't like hearing this message. Your lives are never going to be complete in Christ, in God, until you learn what to do with Satan. Your lives are never going to be what God wants them to be as long as you harden your heart against just one thing, whatever that is. Lord, I give you everything, but I'm going to hold this one thing back, whatever it is. Kind of brings us around to My Hope America. Since we began this project almost a year ago, I have seen in my own life hardships and struggles that I never thought I'd see. The things that Donna and I have had to deal with And folks, it breaks you. And we look to God and we say, Lord, the battle is yours. We're still in it. Oh, it's not easy. And I look to you, this congregation, and I see in your lives the battles that are happening. It's not easy and it's not over. And I look at the church, and I love this church. And I love every one of you here, and I want you to know that. And in my mind and in my heart, I see Satan attacking. Well, how does Satan attack the church? Through each of you. You either become an instrument of Christ, glorifying Him, lifting Him up, praising Him, rejoicing in Him, or you can become an instrument of Satan. Allowing Satan to beat you down. Allowing him to win. In my life, he's not going to win. I'll be honest, I'm not challenging him at this point. But he's not going to win. And in our church, he's not going to win. Doesn't keep him from trying. It doesn't keep us from facing financial hardships. If you know anything about the treasury, you know that the church is, you know, our finances could be a whole lot better than they are. Sometimes we don't think about that, but it's the truth. We're not going to surrender to Satan in this church by giving in to the spiritual battles in the lives of his people. If I know about a battle going on in your life, I will be praying for you. And I pray for each of you on a regular basis. And I pray for those things that I don't know. I pray for those things that can bring you down and can bring the church down. And there's not one of you that I don't lift up to God. You need to be praying the same prayers. I pray that you would be able to overcome whatever Satan throws your way. I pray that he would not get a foothold on you. I pray that you would be prepared, that you would know that there's going to be something coming. And I pray that as a church, we come together as a body of believers working for one cause and one cause only. I am not here, my friends, and please don't hate me for this, but I am not here today to please you. I am here today to please a living, loving God who sent his son to die for me. And he has brought other believers who are like-minded and say, God sent his son to die for me, and I'm a part of a body, I'm a part of a family, I'm a part of something that is greater than one. We need that unity. We need brothers and sisters to embrace each other. We need people to step aside and to strip away the me and start looking at the you. And to strip away the me and to start looking at God and to start realizing what is God doing and what does God want to do in this church and what does God want to do in this community and what does God want to do in my life. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're a team. We're working together. Satan will flee. And I'm determined and prayerfully, I'm not alone. I am determined to not let him win. So what do? You realize who he is and what he's done. The enemy's not here. It's not the person up the street. It's not the neighbor. Is not a brother or sister in Christ. That's not the enemy. The enemy is Satan. And if we give heed to that, he wins. He wins. Let's bow our heads. What is your decision today? Are you going to choose God? As for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. Are you going to choose to allow him to be the one that works in your life? Are you going to let him just strip away everything that Satan wants to put there so that you can be a stronger Christian? Listen, Satan doesn't like it. He doesn't like what we're doing with My Hope America. He doesn't like a message like I've preached this morning. And he doesn't like it if you make a decision to allow Christ to have that control in your life. But you must surrender to God and let him come to you as you come to him. And then you will feel the Holy Spirit moving in you. As I pray, I'm going to ask that you would pray. And I hope, folks, that pride is stripped away. That you would be looking at yourself. And trying to look at yourself as God looks at you. And see where you're failing. And see where you need to let God have control. This is our Father's home here on earth. Your body is his temple. Heavenly Father, the battle rages on. We, your people, stand prepared for battle. We stand prepared, Father, to do what you would have us to do so that the battle would be won. Father, we realize that there are battles taking place in spiritual realms. If we only had spiritual eyes and could see the battles, we would understand so clearly. But Father, you have held that from us. Lord, we do see the battles here. We see the battles within ourselves. Every day as we wake up, the battle. Do we listen to the world? Do we listen to the teachings and the poor guidance and the direction that the world would give? Or do we commit ourselves every single day to you so that we can resist Satan, so that he would flee? Lord, I pray for those who are here. Soften their hearts. Touch them. Father, if it means you must bring them to tears as they dismiss the things that are holding them back from you, then bring them to tears. There's no room for pride in your house, Lord. There's no room for self-centeredness. Because everything we do and everything we say is about you. And Father, as I close this prayer, I must say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Dwell in us. Revive us. Strengthen us. Help us to put self away and to put on God in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray.